Turn over to Mark 11. It's very important that we examine ourselves occasionally in the Christian walk. Oftentimes, somebody else can examine you in a critical way, and it's hard to receive it. Somebody say amen. Criticism is never easy to receive. I've served a lot of churches over the years, been on a lot of boards superintendents and advisors and people that are over you. And don't think it's just your freelancer. You have bosses. And they're not about going to let you. You're expendable. The church is not. The facility, the building is still there, but you're gone, see. So you're kind of always under the boss's eye all the time. And they call him a superintendent, but then there's a general superintendent. And he goes higher on up to get to the top guy. So everybody's got bosses, right? And you have to kind of keep in line with that. Well, God is our boss. And he gives us some things what to do. And he said, these are the guidelines. And you got to play by my rules, not by what you make up or what you think is best. And a lot of people create their own rules along the way. And they miss it because they don't obey. Mark 11 is probably one of the traditional scriptures for faith-building churches, faith builders and individuals, for families. I want to start reading quickly this morning. Mark 11, 22 and 23. I'll read both of them. This deals with the power of faith. Once you understand something has power, you know to learn how to control it or use it. You can buy a brand new car with a big motor in it. Man, it's a 400 or 500 horsepower. And if you don't know how to control it, it'll kill you. It'll destroy you. So you got to know how to maintain it and operate it properly. Faith is explained here very good. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, his disciples, have faith in God. Is yours in red or not? Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, do you know you're a whosoever? Shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatsoever he saith. That is the word of our Lord Jesus. Now, we've went over that over the years. We didn't just learn that last month or last year. It's a foundational text for us. We learn that by reading the Word of God. The power of the tongue, the power of the spoken word, the power of His Word. When you quote the words of Jesus, there's power in those words. We act like there's no power in it. I said there's power in that. He's not a lawyer. He's not the attorney. He is the Son of God. He is the Almighty. He is the one who paid the debt for your sins. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He wants to be with you. He wants fellowship. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He wants to be with you all the time. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter that's going to keep you comfortable. There's no time any Christian should be outrageous and out of control. Can I hear an amen? The Holy Spirit is your guide, comforter, paraclete, assistant, aide, who comforts, gives you information ahead of time on all issues if you ask him. But the Bible is like the book when you buy a new car. You get this car, maybe it's a used one, but it's only 2 or 3 years old, and in the glove box, a book about this thick. Do you know people don't even open it up, don't look at it? They don't even look at it. They don't read it. They have no idea what it says. And yet they're pushing all these buttons. I don't know why. Why do they make this? They never learn how to use half the stuff on the car because they don't read it. Light comes on. Well, what's that mean? I don't know. It's in the book. You know people can't even adjust their clock in their car when daylight saving time changes? Pay $15,000, $18,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 and don't know anything about it. How about your soul's salvation? There's a guidebook, and it's called the Bible. If you think you're going to get there without using the guide, you got a big mistake coming. You're going to miss it. I mean, wide open, miss it. You have no idea the power that's in this country, and not just the power of Jesus, but there's an opposing power that's trying to pull you down and deceive you and take you the wrong way. What I want to talk about today is the Jezebel spirit that's in this nation. I'm not blaming women, it's a spirit. It's touched every part of our economy, touched every part of our families. It touches all our universities. It touches everywhere we go. The Jezebel spirit is still alive. Deceiving. And it's being exposed from the headquarters, the top people in government, all the way down to the people on the jobs, military and all the rest of it. And for some reason, nobody wants to acknowledge that. God has given us a plan here in this chapter. It's so powerful that once you read Mark 11 and you find out what faith is all about, then you got to learn it. You can know there's ABCs, but you got to learn them. Well, I thought, well, I'll never learn them. How many is there, 26 or something of them? 20, A, B, C, D, E, I'll never get all that. I can't memorize that. I'm not going to do that. I made up my mind. I'm not even going to bother with it. I don't know what I need them for. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I went along learning them. My mom got a hold of me. We had to say them to my mom. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and go on to the various X, Y, Z. And that's pretty bad, isn't it? I had two older brothers. I said, well, they don't know them. Well, they did know them, but I just said that. You know what I mean? Like, well, girls were bringing home the good report cards. Wasn't too good for us guys. This is your manual. This is your textbook. You got to get in this thing and you got to study it. Back in the ancient days, and I'm talking biblical days now, not in our times, but there were wells. We had a well on the farm. And in the springtime, you had to put lime and stuff down it to kind of flush it out and get it cleaned out during the winter and get it cleaned up. And then sometimes somebody had to go down the well and kind of just organize everything down there and get it where the water would flow through, see. And a well is, I threw the cat down there. Don't think I didn't get a licking for that. Threw the cat down. I was going to get it in a bucket, take it down in the bucket. And but it got out of the bucket, and when it got back up, I'd give it a little smack, and it fell down in the well. Well, my grandfather didn't like that at all. That's our drinking water. So you got to check all these things out. Water was good in the well, but it could get messed up. Faith is good, but it can get messed up. You don't know your car manual. A lot of people don't know their Bible. They don't know what's going on. And the results is they wonder why this is happening, and they don't know what to do about it. They can't even change a tire. I had Colt on his car. I said, first thing we're going to do is show you what this is in the trunk. This isn't just something. This is, you have a place for it. We're going to change a tire on your car. Off and put this on there. He looked at me like, I can't do that. That's the reason you're going to do it. Well, you know what? I showed you what to do first. Get this lug nuts broken. Then get your jack into here. Take it off. And then we simulated everything like you're going to do it. Put it back again. It took us 20 minutes. He said, pop up, I'll never forget that. I said, you're going to break those lugs loose because that ain't going to be out there to help you do that. That's a little thing. And I told him about his oil in his car. He'd never had a car before. I said, they're not going to check it at the gas station. It's your car. You got to check it. And all the little things that you do, water for the windshield wiper and this and that. And see, you got it, but if you don't take care of it, you're going to lose it. And faith is the same way. If you don't develop it, if you don't improve it, and see, it's like with our bodies and everything else. You got to take care of your body. If you don't, sooner or later, it's going to break down on you. Your faith can break down. It can slow down. It can stop. If things aren't working, I don't know why things aren't working. You're not working faith in it. You've come to a place where you don't believe anymore. You can believe that you can move that mountain, but yet you're at a place where, well, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, you don't know what I've been up against. See, excuses are no good. The baby back there. You're doing a good job with the baby. That's really cute. What I'm trying to say to you is some people put their faith out on a windowsill and say, oh, it's wonderful that I got all the faith in the world. You ever heard anybody say that? That's the dumbest statement anybody's ever made. When you think you got all the faith in the world, you don't have any faith at all. You're riding on somebody else's shirt tail. You're riding on what somebody else did to get to where you want to be. And you're not there, but you think you are. It's so important that we find out what God is saying and go with God. And every situation in your life, it deals with your personal life, your finances, your resources, and how you end up life and what goes beyond the grave. It's so important that people don't realize how powerful this really is. We got a Jezebel spirit out there that's working against us. But cleaning a well out is what some Christians have to do occasionally in their own life. There's a lot of wells in the Bible mentioned by the people who owned them. It mentions Abraham's wells, this wells and that wells. You got to take care of a well, or else it'll go bad on you. It goes sour, they call it. You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of the Word by studying the Word of God and being a student of the Word. By allowing the Word to work for you and work in you and through you, you purify it, you clean it, and you keep it balanced. It works for you, not this time, but with your mouth. Your mouth does more destructive work against the Word of God than anything else. Well, I don't know. What do I know? I hope so. I don't know. What can I know? You know, fear creeps in on people so quick. And the Jezebel spirit that's in the nation today is a spirit of fear. It has robbed us of so much. Material-wise, family-wise, affection, growth and development and love and spiritual things. Everything balances around this. If you don't have that working for you, it's working against you. Anybody ever had a little garden that you put a, you know, maybe you grow some carrots and tomatoes and a few rows of this, a few rows of that? You can plant it, but if you don't take care of it, you ain't going to get nothing. You got to water it. You got to go out to make sure you keep the rabbits out. Keep this out. Keep the deer out. Keep that out. They'll come right in and get your stuff for you. They'll steal it. So you said, my little patch I got to take care of it. That little heart you got, that little faith you got to take care of it. You can't just throw it out there and expect somebody else to pray for you. Call, I need prayer. I want you to pray. They're not going to pray your faith like you can. You got to hold on. You got to be determined. I'm going to see this through all the way through. I've been around some men I wouldn't even talk. Charles Capps, when I'm with him, go over to the airplane and he's going to get adjusted. I just stood there watching him. What would I say around Charles Capps about aviation that I would make myself look like a nut? I just stood there. But I never had him. Correction isn't necessary if you don't say the wrong thing. If you say something stupid, I mean, you're waiting for an accident, a crash to happen in your own life. I don't know why that's not working. And we all get caught in a snare. It's a snare that's put out there over and over. If you don't balance yourself, if you don't work at it. Anybody remember when you used to have to learn vocabulary words? If you would look up vocabulary words, you get extra credit for it, you know? I had an English teacher in high school, and he actually had a doctor's degree. Dr. Ellis, was it Ellis? No, what was that doctor had the English teacher, had the doctor's degree? Which one? Anyhow, this was a high school teacher, had a doctor's degree. Going there, I'd intimidate you when they were sitting in his class. He said, if you learn 21 words and turn it in on Friday, I give you an extra point. But he could ask you any one of those questions, that words you wrote down, you had to tell him what it was. Or else you got to zip. They offer all kind of plans for you to do things. But you know what? Most people didn't do it. They didn't take opportunity to do it. If you had, I mean, a real point. Now, I'm not talking about like on a test. This is a point up on your grade. And I needed all of my get then to Charles. What I'm trying to say is we got the Word of God and we get credit for everything we do. It's going to your account. It's going for you. This is for you. All you got to do is do it. And most people don't do it because it's easier not to do it. Oh, I got to read it. We got to read the Bible. Oh, man, we got to go back through that again. Here's what it says. When you redig these wells, you're opening the door to a new revelation coming in your life. You overcome all the details. So many people are ignorant of the things that God has for them. Do you know tradition steals a lot of things from people? Tradition. This way my grandmother did it. This is how my pawpaw did it. This is the way we always did it. And you break something new out of the Word of God to them. Well, I never heard of that before. Where'd you get that from? We got some new doctrine? No, it's been in the Bible. Jesus said it. You know how hard it is to see somebody yield to the Holy Spirit to where they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's difficult. People will fight you on that. Some people will fight you on eternal security. Some people fight you on their seven heavens. Or there's three of this, and when you go to the grave, you stay in the grave. Somebody believe everything you think of, somebody's got an exchange for it. The devil's got a lie for it. People don't believe it. There are some people believe it. You don't even want to help a child baby. His baby needs a blood transfusion. We're not going to do it. We refuse to do it. You've heard of the stuff, haven't you? Maybe you'll die. I said, well, we ain't going to do it. I'd take a chance on it. Lady said she needed a blood transfusion in our church, and we was in the hospital there in our little town. It was a small town and small hospital. And they asked me what we were going to do. What's your blood? I said, I don't even know right now. I said, I have to look at my book, my little folder. Well, I had some kind of B or whatever it was, you know. They said, well, that's about the same thing she's got. She said, we could do a direct transfusion. I said, what's that mean? Out of you to her. Well, I said, okay. First thing I know, I had my shirt on. I had alcohol up down my arm here. Where I'm laying in a bed next to her, bed's here, my bed's here. And that little, I can see that tube going across there. My blood's going to her. I said, how do you know when she's got enough? Well, no. Well, they had a meter on the other side, a reader, and kept checking the blood pressure. But you know, she is the best friend we had, her and her husband, her family. They loved us the whole time we was there. And I walked out of the hospital and that month never happened. If you're willing, God's able. But if you balk on God, you come against God, you resist, you don't, I can't do that, I won't do it, it won't work, it can't happen. I'm saying that this will never work. Whoever's idea this was, this is no good. It's not going to work. We're snared by the words of our mouth. We're snared by Jezebel tricks. That spirit is everywhere. I'm going to tell you, people don't realize it is everywhere. It's exposing stuff all over the world, and we don't even know it. The news has been filled with this guy that was some kind of newspaper man here in the United States, and he was over in one of the Arab countries, and he walks into their embassy. They never seen him again. Took six suitcases to get him out of there. They had a bone saw in that. I mean, who would go see some visit somebody with a bone saw? That must have been grisly. But that's not, that's the devil's work. And you know, that ain't nothing what's going to be down there. Fire that never ends. A hell that never quits. It's going to be so bad, people are just going to cry out. And vengeance to cry out. And they're not going to ask for mercy. There'll be no mercy. If you know what God is trying to spare you from, and your families and your children, you'd be on your knees crying out, oh God, whatever happens, I'll do anything. I'll give whatever I got. But they won't miss heaven. See, prayer time is something that the earlier churches, I'm going to talk old school for a few minutes, they believed in. Have you ever heard that prayer changes things? You don't hear people talking about that verse anymore because they're not praying. So why would they talk about prayer changes things? Because they don't want the commitment of it. But I like for somebody, just for the fun of it, time somebody that know your time and how much television they watch a week, how many commercials they watch a week, how many, you know. There was a baseball game on the other night, lasted for, anybody know, World Series? It was 18, 19 innings. It didn't get over to like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a World Series out in California. They stayed up and watched that. The place was full. They never left. Stay in church. Here it is. Oh, man, 5 minutes over. Don't you know we got to go? That restaurant's going to be full by the time we get there. Folks, I'm telling you, this is the most important issues of life. Know your Savior. Know your family. Intercede. Pray for them. If you got to just crawl up in the bed and just put them over your head and just, if you got to weep and cry, whatever you got to do, do it until they're saved. I mean, once you get serious with God, it'll work out. It's not as hard as you think. I took Betty up to my parents' house to visit my family when we were dating, and my mom said to her, says, well, you're the best thing ever happened to him, meaning me. You might think I was a problem child, but I wasn't too much. But I know I wasn't going the right direction. You ever try to hide something from somebody? But you can't hide enough from your mom. She has photographic memory on everything. She can see right through you. She can look at you. She's staying up at nighttime, sitting in a chair, waiting. And when I come in, she said, is that you, Earl? Who was she expected? Sometimes I try to climb in the back window, and the window would fall down and make a lot of noise. And so I give that up. That didn't work. Try to go down through the garage and come back up. You know, that didn't work. The basement and come back up. That didn't work. I had to come in the front door, and she never locked the door until all the boys, everybody was in. Then she'd go to bed. I said, who are you expecting, Mom? She says, you know what I'm talking about. Why do we try to pull something over on Jesus? Why do we allow this not to work in our life? Mark 11 is so powerful. These are instructions. These tell us how to get these things done. He gives us parables and stories, how to live, how to overcome, how to walk on the right side of life, how to be an overcomer in every situation, finances, this and that. Everything's covered. It is a manual for life. Can't even get anybody to read it. I like National Geographic, archaeology magazines. Ted gets the cement books that come in there and develop a new designs, new building. But he knows, reads it. By the time he reads it, he knows it. Most people don't even want to read the Bible. Don't even want to read it. It's a guideline for life. It's a guideline for life. It'll keep you on the straight and narrow. It'll take you all the way to the end, which is heaven. The end is our beginning. Once you allow the Word of God to work in your life, and you look at this government we're in right now, I mean, have you ever seen anything like what's going on in our country? Somebody say amen if you one way or the other. Oh, me. It is pathetic, but it's all corrupt. And it's like the kettle calling the pot black. How can we see all this happening and nobody has the answer for it? We've got to realize, if you don't get radical in your faith in these last days, if you don't stand up and hold the line, I mean, don't give in. Be determined. We are not going to move. We're not giving in to anything. We're not surrendering any ground. We're not backing up on any issues. We're not going to allow the enemy to overtake us. That's what it's going to take. We have rights and things that we have in this country, and we cannot let them take it away. And that means I want you to get out there and vote. Vote a Christian vote. We're voting for Jesus. Several things have happened that's been very important in history. Was determined by one vote. One vote. Yeah. One vote. One vote. One person. We just did. We almost seen the same thing happen right with this last Supreme Court appointment. The whole country sitting there waiting. How? What's the way it's going to go? What's the way? And you could almost see the division was in this country. Well, they're not going to vote on you in heaven. If your name's not in the book, you're not going. If your name's not in the book, you're not going. You can make reservations at a hotel and still miss it. Somebody neglects to put you into a room. We don't have no room for you. We call. Well, no, we don't have it. But heaven, Lamb's Book of Life, when it's in there, go on in. Enter into your rest. I want to tell you that if we can understand faith and work it and know that the enemy's trying to derail you, hold you back, push you off guard, get you off center, cause a distraction in your life. That's what happens to people. It's not the big things, it's the little things. It's the baby foxes that swirl the vine. It's the little things in your life that you can't get over. Now, just personally, you're retired from how many years service in that company? 35 years. How many times do you think you'd like to have quit? Many times. You hear that? That's how it is. Don't think it's going to go through life. Every day is going to be a holiday. Oh, glory to God. Today's my day. Me and the Lord's going to walk hand in hand. Well, let me tell you, there's some days that it's not that he lets go, you let go. Well, you get out there alone. They had a report on the television the other day where two of these big luxury yachts out in California crashed into each other. $1 million yachts. Crashed into each other and sank. A whole ocean out there. $1 million. Of course, that ain't much today when these people talk about, but can you imagine having $1 million yacht and some guy runs into you? It's not a bump, you know, a little bumper on the thing. This is thinking your yacht. It'd be ruined for life. We'll never get over that. The insurance stuff on the, it's a principle. When you get before heaven and they look through the book, even if you get to the line, tell him no. Tell her no evidence of her ever getting in this book. What? You have to go to the left. You won't make it that far. You're never going to see anything like it because you're going to go straight down. Straight to, you ever played Monopoly? Go straight to jail. Boy, that deflates you. No, not that. What's it going to be for eternity? Folks, we're out of time, and I didn't even get into my subject here because I want you to know that the devil's messing with you. Prayer meetings are essential. If you can't pray at home, I'd like to be able to get people praying at home and just like call in and say, look, I got 6 to 7 reserved. Don't let nobody have that. I got this. I got that. I got you covered on that. When you hear our prayer chain goes down, I'm on top of it. Call me first. I bet nobody's ever said, make sure I'm the first one that's called. If you can't find anybody else, call me. That's not what it's about. It's the excitement of it. Let's stand to our feet today.